my words and our thoughts be in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, of God the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's always nice to get introduced by a little tune, isn't it, from somewhere or other. I'd like to extend my welcome to Sienna this morning and to Andrew and Tennille. I'd also like to ask you a question this morning. And that is, if you had one wish, you don't have to answer it now, but if you had one wish for Sienna, what would it be? One wish for Sienna's future. In fact, I might extend it to all of us to ask if you had one wish for your children or your grandchildren, what would you wish for them? There was a young king who was once asked the question by God, "What would you like me to give you?" You've got one wish, so to speak. Proverbs has an idea of what that wish should be. And I'd like to read to you from Proverbs 4. Here is what it says. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. There it is. Knowledge and wisdom go hand in hand. It's wise to get knowledge, but wisdom is about knowing how to use knowledge well. For example, the farmer may observe that fields do far better when they're rested and they lie fallow for a year. Wisdom then will resist the temptation to keep wringing out the soil for all it's worth, and wisdom will say, rotate the crops. Another example is that knowledge can give you or equip you to be able to use things like the internet or the TV or the stereo or whatever. But wisdom will help you to use it well rather than to use it destructively both to others and to yourself. It was Michel Aiken de Montaigne back in the 16th century who said, "We can be knowledgeable with other men's knowledge, but we cannot be wise with other men's wisdom." We can be knowledgeable with other men's knowledge, but we cannot be wise with other men's wisdom. So, where do we find wisdom? Where do we get it? I think we can get a certain amount of it by observing life and observing nature. Some of it comes through experience. There's one of the biblical Proverbs, Proverbs 6, verse 6, which says, "Go to the ant, lazy bones, and consider her ways and be wise." Learn from nature. Learn from the way the ants work. But of course, while we can gain a lot by observing what works in the world, there is a wisdom that was hidden for generations. The sort of wisdom you can only have a sort of inkling of. You can look at the world, you can get an inkling of it, but you cannot know it. Not by looking. And that wisdom is the wisdom of God. It's also a wisdom that has been revealed in Jesus Christ. And for those who receive him into their lives, it is revealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, it's Trinity Sunday today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is bound up with wisdom. So the wise person then will seek those things which relate to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. The wise person will seek the Scriptures because in them is knowledge and in them is the wisdom of God expressed and communicated to us. Proverbs 8 personifies wisdom. Wisdom talks to us like a person and says, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. O simple ones, learn prudence, acquire intelligence, you who lack it. And the chapter then goes on to outline the advantages of wisdom. It talks about it being a guide for all in the first five verses, a partner of righteousness and justice in verses 6 to 13, the key to success in verses 14 to 21, the principle of creation in verses 22 to 31, and then the necessity of life in verses 32 to 36. I hope you'll read that proverb when you get home. Proverbs 8. So in the context of raising children, in the context of raising Sienna, for example, of understanding the purpose of life, and of finding guidance for our own lives, this passage is tremendously important. Let's take a closer look at some of those things. First of all, wisdom is the guide for all. Notice where wisdom can be found. On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. Wisdom is in the place where people are. Wisdom is to be found in the everyday walks of life, along the road, the crossroads of decision, in the gateways of opportunity. There is wisdom calling out. And it's not just for a privileged few people. It doesn't depend on how clever you are. Wisdom calls out to everyone who will listen and who will heed the call. Secondly, it is the partner of righteousness and justice. Wisdom calls out for us to live the right way, to deal justly with people. Wisdom speaks of noble things. Wisdom speaks the truth. Wisdom is linked with prudence and knowledge and discretion. It's the key to success. By me, says wisdom, people will rule well. By me, people gain riches and honor and wealth and prosperity. Am I preaching a prosperity gospel here? Is this a promise of wealth if you grasp wisdom? Well, no, not really. It's simply a fact that in all your dealings, every dealing in life, wisdom will help you to make right decisions. It's common sense, really. But remember that even if wisdom does help to make us better off, wisdom also says that wealth, the wealth that we have, is to benefit others, and that our lives do not consist of riches. Wisdom helps us to use what we have in the best ways for God's kingdom. You see, success in God's eyes is to live rightly and faithfully before God and in obedience to Him. Wisdom will guide us into that sort of success. Wisdom is also the principle of creation. Wisdom says, "The Lord created me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts long ago." Wisdom was the first thing. Ages ago, wisdom was set up. Wisdom then is God's creation. And if we want to understand the creation, then we need to understand the wisdom of God. In fact, if we want to have life, if we want to understand life, if we want to know the meaning of life, we must have wisdom, God's wisdom. It goes on to say in verses 32 to 36 of Proverbs 8 that it is the necessity of life. "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death." Back in 1975, somebody estimated that if all the human accumulated knowledge from the beginning of recorded history to 1845 was represented by 1 centimetre, then what we've learned from 1845 to 1945 would amount to 3 centimetres. And what we've learned from 1945 to 1975 would represent almost 750 metres, not centimetres, metres. That's over 35 years ago. And in 2007, it was stated that scientific knowledge doubles every 5 years. This, however, has not corresponded with a growth in wisdom. Quite the contrary in some ways. Someone once said, common sense isn't as common as it used to be. And someone else said, there is just as much horse sense as ever, but it seems that the horses have it. I've come across people in my own life who have had great education. They didn't know, and others who didn't know a lot about the world, or people who didn't have a great education, who didn't know a lot about the world, but they were wise. They were wise people. They knew how to relate to people, how to make good decisions. They would bring calm and real common sense into situations. And you see that God's Spirit and His character were in them. Conversely, I have seen very bright people who are experts in their own fields, but who exhibit very little wisdom and common sense. And I think there are numerous reasons for the lack of wisdom in society. One being that very often we abandon the true knowledge of God. I remember watching a quiz show some years ago where there were 9 categories to choose from. And I noticed that none of the contestants chose religion. Much to my disappointment, it was the one place I thought I might be able to answer a question and get it right. But today, many people grow up not knowing about basic religious teaching, which was once taken for granted in society. I believe that's why SRE, Scripture in Schools, is so important. I think another thing today is you get the impression that because young people have health and fitness in their bodies and know so much about new technologies, that they are also healthy and fit in mind and heart and spirit, which is not necessarily so. Many of the most advertised programs on commercial channels, which of course most people watch, revolve around young people, which of course suggests that they are the main consumers of such programs. But many of those TV programs, when you look at them, revolve around deception and conflict and exclusion, sometimes extreme violence and sex without commitment. I noticed that the very popular A Current Affair, which is arguably for an older audience, peddles a persistent diet of people in conflict with one another. It rarely has much to do with wisdom and good relationships. And people feed on this stuff. They become fat on it. But it lacks fiber, and it lacks nourishment, and it fails in the end to satisfy. And what you watch and what you fill your time with inevitably mold your thinking. Unless you have other anchors in life. Now, wisdom and life are not difficult to grasp if we really want them. After all, wisdom is calling out to us. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. In other words, God has taken the initiative to reach out to us. Jesus knocks at the door of our life so that we only have to open it. And the Holy Spirit is given as a gift to all who will repent and believe. These things are not hard to find, they're not hard to grasp, they're not hard to come into a relationship with, because they make the advances to us. Jesus, who is God's wisdom, promises the Holy Spirit. So receive Jesus and you receive the Spirit, the very Spirit of God. Receive the Spirit and you find wisdom and truth. Because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are the real thing in life. And their wisdom and reality is woven into the very fabric of creation. As a young man, Solomon, as he became king following his great father David, asked for wisdom to lead God's people. And God was pleased to give it to him and all the other things that he hadn't asked for. And I remember as a child hearing that story, and from that time asking God to make me wise. Whether I am or not is for other people to judge. But I continue to pray for that wisdom. For wisdom in all sorts of circumstances of life. I'm very encouraged when I read the letter of James in the New Testament. In his letter he says, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting. You ask for wisdom, you'll get it. That's the promise. Ask for it, and ask for the courage and the strength to act upon it. Encourage your children and your grandchildren, not just to be knowledgeable and clever as they grow up, but above all to be wise with the wisdom of God, because knowing and submitting to God is where wisdom begins. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains the favor of the Lord. May we indeed know God as Father, know Jesus, his Son, as our Savior and our Lord, and know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may indeed be wise before God. Amen.